Well, good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Oh, we can do a little better than that. It's a long weekend for most of us. How's everybody doing this morning? Thank you. That's so much better. Well, Pastor Mike was wrapping up a series the past 5 weeks on Empowered for Life, and I was talking to him yesterday because, you know, Dad and I hung out when golfing is fun. I suck, and learning, getting better. But as we're hanging out and just walking through and wrestling with what the Lord put on my heart, I made the joke of it's the unofficial week 6 of Empowered for Life. And if you guys are taking notes, the title of the sermon today, Dad, this is just for you. This is another lingo that I've heard at least from teenagers and people my age is built different. Have you ever heard that before? That guy's just built different. And so today what we're going to be focusing on is that we can be built different, not just be built up on the things of the world, but we can be built up on the firm foundation of Jesus Christ. And as I was wrestling through this message and just being convicted left and right by what the Lord was speaking to me, I began to do research on skyscrapers because they're really tall and they don't fall most of the time, unless if you're in the one in San Francisco where it sinks like half an inch every year or whatever it is. But most of the time, they stand upright and stand firm. Right. And so I was very interested in like, well, why is that? Because like when I was a kid, I just thought you built straight on the ground up and everything was fine. But no, come to realize that you have to do a bunch and a bunch of digging. So there's multiple layers of soil that they have to dig through to hit what they call bedrock. So I had two titles for this sermon. It was either going to be Built Different or Built on Bedrock. I kind of went with Built Different because I think that's better. But so skyscrapers, you build down as far as you can to the bedrock. And if you can't get deep enough, they begin to dig down with just these things called piles, which are just giant steel massive beams that they dig straight to the center of the earth and hit the bedrock. So they dig down as far as they can. They anchor it to the bedrock with steel and concrete and all these different things just to make sure that the skyscraper stands. And at the top of a skyscraper, they can reach winds of up to 100 miles an hour. And if there's not anchored down into something that won't shake and won't move, it's going to topple over. You know, it's going to fall right over because if you have the winds at the very top hitting 100 miles an hour, you have the rain and the snow and the storms and everything like that. If it's not anchored down, it will fall. And it takes a lot of hard work and preparation to build a skyscraper. They can't just build it overnight because if they did, it wouldn't be anchored correctly. It wouldn't be drilled down into the bedrock. It wouldn't be on the firm foundation and it would fall. And so much of our life is the same way as well. You know, we have to dig through the topsoil and the subsoil is what they call it. But really, we have to dig through the distractions. We have to dig through the world. We have to dig through what people say about us. We have to dig through our own selfish ambitions, our pride, our ego, our greed, or whatever it is, and dig down to the firm foundation of Jesus. Because so often, I feel like we build our lives on something that we can just reach and settle for, right? If people building skyscrapers just would stop at the subsoil and just anchor down there, it wouldn't last. And I think for us, we give up too soon on anchoring our lives on the firm foundation of Jesus because it's hard work. It's a daily struggle of I'm going to make this conscious decision. I'm going to dig down a little deeper into God's word. I'm going to do this. I'm going to build my relationship with Jesus so I can be anchored down in the firm foundation so we can be built different. And it's hard work. It is not easy. It is not for the faint of heart. But buildings are only as strong as their foundations. And your life, my life, our lives is only as strong as the foundation that we're built upon, right? If we're built on anything other than Jesus, our life will crumble. It'll fall when things get hard and things get difficult. And we'll get into that. But if we're built on Jesus, just like how the song said, it is the firm foundation and you will never let us down. We'll never fail, never fall. But how do we do that? A lot of time, we just give up. Things get hard and we just say, oh, it's fine, like whatever, I'll be fine. And then the storms of life come and we just give up and move on. Instead of anchoring our lives down in the firm foundation of Jesus. And we're gonna be picking up in Matthew chapter 7. This is the end of the Sermon of the Mount, on the Mount. Jesus walked through two chapters, just giving people wisdom and insight and how to live life for Jesus and all these different things. And he ends the passage on the Sermon on the Mount with this. And it says in Matthew 7, verses 24 through 28, it says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. Verse 26, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. Again, the same thing. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Two people, same exact circumstances, right? And from the outside, you know, as Jesus is giving this illustration, it would be, the houses look exactly the same. Imagine your basic two-story house on whatever plot of land. They look the exact same, but one falls and one stands. Because two people had two different foundations. They both experienced trials. They both experienced tribulations. They both experienced the heartaches of life, but one fell and one stood. And Jesus makes a distinction here. He says, two people that have heard my word. There's two people that have heard my word, and they have two very different outcomes of their life. Two people that read the same Bible. Two people that listen to the same messages on Sunday mornings. Two people that attend the same worship service. Two people that go to Collide on Wednesday night. Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. No service this week. Enjoy your 4th of July. But anyway, we'll be back normal. But two people that have read their Bible, two people that have built their life in community at the church. But one falls and one stands. Because I think so often we can get used to the programs of church and not know Jesus personally. We can come on a Sunday morning, listen to worship. We can come on a Sunday morning, listen to Pastor Mike speak. Again, he's a lot better than I am. Come next week. It'd be awesome. But you can come and hear all these things, go to small groups, get your life transformed in community. But one can be built on sand and the other can be built on the rock. What is your life built on? And I had to ask myself this question multiple times this week. There's not been a more convicting message for my life than this one as I was preparing it. Because I asked myself, it's like, what is my life built on? And to really get to the root of that, I said, okay, well then how do I figure out what my life is built on? I asked myself this question, I'm nothing without blank. And that's how you're going to find out what your foundation is, right? I'm nothing without my job. I need my income. I need to feel safe and secure. I'm nothing without this relationship that I have because they make me feel loved and valued and whole. I'm nothing without my money. I'm nothing without my friendships. I'm nothing without my car, whatever it is. I'm nothing without this. And that is your foundation, right? That's as deep as you'll go. So if you're saying, oh, I'm nothing without my job, what happens when you lose your job? Your foundation crumbles. What happens if you're getting in an argument with your child and they never want to talk to you again? If your foundation is on your family, then it's going to fall apart. And so often we just settle for that foundation because it's, I'm nothing without this. I'm nothing without my money. What is your life built on? It's a very humbling and sobering question to ask yourself, even myself, as I was wrestling with it, of just like, God, what am I doing? What is my life built on? I can say X, Y, and Z that I am a Christian, that I'm saved, that I love Jesus, but does my life really live up to that foundation that it's built on? What is it built on? And so often I think we say our life is built on Jesus, but we only build our lives in Jesus when it's convenient, right? Only build our lives in Jesus when we're facing trials and tribulation. We only spend time with Jesus when we need him. When life is falling apart, then do we cry out to Jesus? You know, it's like Jonah in the belly of the whale cried out to God after he tried to run away from him in the midst of his trial, in the belly of the whale. In your hardest season, in your hardest life, that's when we call it to Jesus. But what if we took time and made building our life on Jesus not just a trend? Because trends fade and trends go by really quickly, especially nowadays on the internet. Trends fail, but what if we made Jesus, building our lives on Jesus, a lifestyle? Making building your life on Jesus a lifestyle and not just a trend, not just something that's cool to do because your friend is doing it, because, you know, the person you talk to all the time is doing it. No, what if we made it a lifestyle? How different would our lives look if we actually built our lives on Jesus day in and day out? And it's going to take time. It's going to take hard work. It's going to take, you know, lots of tears and time with Jesus, but it's going to be worth it in the end. But what is your life built on? Started off by talking about, like, we need to build our life on the rock. But why should we build our lives on Jesus? I mean, we could go through the superficial answers of, like, well, yeah, because then my life will stand. And that is true. But I don't think we understand of why Jesus and why not something else. And David writes in Psalms 127, he says, unless the Lord builds a house, unless the Lord builds your life up from the ground, the work is wasted. All the hard work you put in to make yourself a better person, all the hard work you put in to have your family relationship restored, all the hard work you get to get your dream job, all the hard work you put in to get better at whatever you're doing, it is wasted if the Lord doesn't build that foundation. If the Lord doesn't start from the ground up, it's going to topple over. Because we're going to be built on sinking sand, something that's not going to last. Relationships will fall. Relationships might fade. Money will definitely go away. Your job might is not always guaranteed. Your happiness isn't always a guarantee. But if we anchor ourselves in the firm foundation of Jesus, the one who builds it up, we'll never fail. Even though we will be beat down and beat up, we'll never fall. Unless the Lord builds, the work you put in is wasted. And also in Psalms, David also says, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my savior, and my God is a rock in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me in my place of safety. I called on the Lord who is worthy of praise, and he saved me from my enemies. And at this time, at this part, when David was writing this psalm, he was being chased down by Saul and his army to be killed because God had anointed him to be the new king of Israel. But David, a man after God's own heart, continued to build his life on Jesus, on God, even in the midst of persecution and murder threats and everything like that. And God protected him. When you're walking through your seasons of your life, God may not, you know, won't let you fall and fail, but he'll protect you. He'll hold you up. He won't let you fall. He's your shield, right? Protecting you from the attacks of the enemy, the enemies that come against you. In David's case, it was Saul, and the Lord miraculously guarded him and his life from Saul. And in your life, maybe he's guarding you from relationships. Maybe he's guarding you from addictions. Maybe he's guarding you from divorce. Maybe he's guarding you from losing a family member. Maybe he's guarding you from just the sting of death and pain and hurt. But the Lord, it will guard you and guide you through that because he's a shield. He is our firm foundation. He is my rock, my savior, the beginning and the end. When the storms of life come, Proverbs Solomon writes, which is David's son, when the storms of life come, the wicked are whirled away, but the godly have a lasting foundation. With Jesus, life doesn't get easier, but you can stand a little taller with Jesus, right? With Jesus, even in the midst of your pain and insecurities, you have joy through those tribulations. With Jesus, when things come and knock you down that they used to before, you can say, no, I'm built different. You know, people come up to you and say, man, that situation normally would have knocked me down. He's like, well, what's different about you? He's like, well, I'm built different. I'm not just built different. I'm built on something different. I'm built on the beginning and the end. The Alpha and the Omega, the same God yesterday, today, and forever, the one who raised Jesus from the dead, who saved me from my sins, who created the world in 7 days. I am built on that foundation, the beginning and the end. I'm built on something different. And we can go through our lives and be whipped back and forth through trials and tribulation. But when you're built on Jesus, there's something different about you. People notice something a little different. Like, man, you just walked through an incredibly hard tragedy in your life. How are you still here? Right. Man, I'm built on Jesus. I'm dying on the inside and I'm crying my eyes out at night, but I'm not going down without a fight because I'm built on Jesus. And you can be built on Jesus too. Be built on Jesus because when the storms come, as Solomon writes, the wicked fade away, but the righteous have a firm foundation in Jesus. They stand on the rock that won't move. Even in the middle of what feels like earthquakes and things get shaken up and crumbled around us in our life, we won't fall down because we're anchored deep down onto the firm foundation. So why Jesus? Why not Jesus? I'd rather be focused and anchored on somebody that I know is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that won't disappear in 2 years. That won't just leave me disappointed in tomorrow. That won't just say something and have his promises be empty. I'd rather build some, you know, my life on something that I know lasts and I know works. And I've seen it modeled through my parents and my grandparents and friends around me that building your life on Jesus just works. It doesn't make sense, but it just works. Because I've seen my parents and grandparents and people around me go through some hard stuff. But when they're anchored in Jesus, they always make it through and God always provides a way. God always provides a way out because they're anchored in Jesus. What are you built on? Are you going to be on sinking sand or the firm foundation? So, you know, we have why Jesus? Why am I built on Jesus? Why should I choose Jesus? You might be asking, great, Levi, well, then how do I build my life on this rock? What can I do to anchor my life down in the rock of Jesus? You know, just like the skyscrapers where they dig through the topsoil and the subsoil and dig straight down to the bedrock, how can I cement my life on the rock? Glad you asked. I believe there's three pillars, and there's probably a little bit more, but from Matthew 7, I think there's three pillars that Jesus talks about that really help us anchor and cement our lives down onto the rock. The first one is come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. In Matthew 11, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Who's tired this morning and needs rest? Who's tired of running from their guilt and their shame and just needs rest? Tired of fighting their own battles and just needs rest? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When you come to Jesus, he takes your problems and goes along with you. Doesn't mean you're not going to have problems, but you have somebody standing right beside you. Well, yoke, you have two oxen right next to each other. If you had one oxen pulling the yoke, they wouldn't be able to push the cart very far. But with two people, they can go a long way. So in your problems in your life, when you're toiling through the soil and you're just going through all the crap in life, literally with these oxen, you have somebody along with you to push the cart with you, to go along with you to get you through your problems and your heartache and your pain. But also your anxiety and your depression, you're yoked to somebody greater than yourself to get you through your worst time. But you need to come to Jesus. Repentance is key. Repentance is the first step. James writes in James 4:8 says, come to God and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Repentance, knowing you need Jesus, is the first step. And for a lot of times, that's the only step we take. I've repented of my sins. I came to Jesus. I accepted it in my heart. And now I'm good. I'm saved. But there's nothing past that. And I think even for me in my own life, being raised in the church, being a pastor's kid, going to a Christian high school, going to a Christian middle school, going to a Christian college, that was the only step I ever made. Was, Jesus, I'm just going to come to you when I make a mistake, when I need to repent of something, and I'll just come to you. That is the first step, but it is not the only step. Come to Jesus, number one. Number two, know Jesus. Now, there's a difference between knowing Jesus and knowing Jesus. I'll say it like this. There's a difference between of me knowing LeBron James and actually knowing LeBron James, right? I know he's the guy from Akron who led three different NBA teams to national championships, has the most points in the, right? The most points? Scoring record? Yeah. I know this about LeBron James, but it doesn't mean I can call him up and talk to him because I don't know him. He doesn't know me. LeBron James has no idea who I am. I wish he did. That'd be pretty awesome, but he doesn't. There's a difference between knowing Jesus and knowing Jesus. And I think so often we get confused with knowing information about Jesus and not having a knowing and loving and deep and radical relationship with Jesus. Because I know all the answers. I grew up in church. Fun fact, 9 times out of 10, the answer is always Jesus. But I know the answers to the questions. I know the verses. I know why God is the way he is. I know X, Y, and Z. I know this and that. It's just all head knowledge. But where things get changed is when you know him in a real and radical relationship. When you actually know him and hear his heart and spend time with him and be with him, that's when things change. We get so caught up in the, I came to Jesus and repented, but we miss the fact that he actually wants something more for us, which is a relationship. Religion is not just give me, give me, give me, my name is Jimmy. It is a relationship. And this is the most humbling, scary verse in the Bible. It comes right before what we just read. Remember, there was a therefore in verse 24. It says, therefore, those who XYZ. This is what came right before in Matthew chapter 7. Not everyone who says to me, again, this is scary. This is the one verse of the chunk of verses that have kept me up multiple times at night. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, on the day of judgment, when God comes down and judges everybody and enters in a new age, a new heaven, a new earth. Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not, and in your name, not drive out demons, and in your name, not perform many miracles? As a pastor, that is terrifying, because my calling is to be with Jesus and to do things in his name. But so often we judge our relationship with Jesus and what we do instead of actually knowing him. Say, God, didn't you know that I did this for you? Don't you know that I gave to church? You know, don't you know that I went on iServe Sunday and I painted houses? Don't you know I went on mission trips to Costa Rica and gave people food and did all this stuff? Don't you know I did all these things in your name? Don't you know I prayed for people? Don't you know I led people to you? And Jesus says a really sobering fact on the last statement on that, on verse 23. He says, then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Come to Jesus, know Jesus. Relationship isn't about what we can do for Jesus, but it's how he transforms us from the inside out. Our relationship with God is not built on what we do, but it's built on grace. Because there's nothing that I could do in my entire life that'll ever match up to the sacrifice that God gave for me. Literally coming down heaven to earth, sacrificing himself just for me and you. To have a life-giving, long-lasting, radical relationship with you that has changed generations of people. He wants that same exact relationship with you. But we stop so often at the come to Jesus part that we never get to know Jesus and know who he's called us to be and know that he has designed you for a specific purpose and a specific plan, and he's called you here and put you on this earth for such a time as this. But we don't know that if we don't spend time with him. I tell our youth students all the time of it starts small. You can probably tell, ask Jordan and Ryan and Eli as well. It's like it always starts small. 5 minutes a day. Your relationship with Jesus doesn't need to be transformed into your best friend overnight. I didn't become best friends with my wife overnight. It took a year or two, whatever. Hey, building a relationship with her. I can't become so close to Jesus overnight. It takes me of actually sitting down and being in his presence and hearing his voice and reading his word. Have you read the Bible? It's crazy and convicting, but it's also refreshing. It lifts my spirit because God is speaking to me. That's how I read the Bible, is what is God, what are you saying to me today by reading this? 5 minutes a day, one worship song on your way to work. I can tell you nothing more has changed my life than switching to listening to worship music on my way to the gym than listening to my metal music. Mom, I know you're not here right now. Your prayer may have come true, but it's fine. If you guys don't know, she's been praying for me since I was in high school to stop listening to metal music. I still listen to it, but it's more worship now. Nothing has changed my attitude than waking up at 5:30 in the morning and listening to my worship music on the way to my workout. It's not rocket science. We make it seem so difficult of, oh, I need to, you know, spend time with Jesus for 3 hours a night and read all these passages. It will develop into that. But if you're new or you've never spent time with Jesus, or you're maybe a new Christian as well, don't expect to be on Pastor Mike's walk with Jesus where you're at right now. It starts right now, 5 minutes. One worship song, one small prayer, the verse of the day on the Bible app. Thank the Lord for technology. You can open up your phone, and at 7:30 in the morning when you wake up to go to work, you can have a Bible passage right there on your phone. Know Jesus. Come to Jesus, know Jesus. And then the third one that anchors us down is follow Jesus. You can't follow Jesus if you don't know Jesus, right? There's a difference. If you don't know what Jesus is calling you to do, if you don't know who Jesus has called you to be, then how can you follow it? If God's got a plan and a roadmap for your life, how can you follow it if you're not spending time with him, listening to the guidance and the direction? My wife and I walked through this in January of just wrestling with what God was calling us to do and who he's called us to be. And ultimately, we felt like God was calling us to go and plant a church eventually in 2 or 3 years. But I wouldn't know that if I didn't spend time with Jesus. If my wife and I weren't just sitting down and saying, okay, we're going to be intentional of saying, God, what are you speaking to us right now? Maybe sometimes in your prayer time or just even sitting on your kitchen counter while you're waiting for dinner to be done, you can just say, God, what are you guiding me to do? Where are you calling me? Where are you leading me? What are you speaking over me? And then as you begin to hear his voice and listen to him, you can actually follow what he says and gives you. In James, James says, but do not listen to God's words. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourself. I love that. For if you listen to the word of God and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror, seeing yourself and walk away, and you forget exactly what you look like. You can come to church and hear Pastor Mike on how to build your life on the Empowered for Life, or you come here on how to build your life on the rock, but if you don't live it out and work it out and practice, nothing's gonna change. If you don't spend time with Jesus and hear that he's telling you to maybe, I don't know, stop this relationship, maybe stop being so greedy, maybe spend a little less money and give, or maybe whatever it is, maybe go talk to this person, your life's not gonna change. Because we can read the Bible, we can listen to messages, we can listen to worship songs, but not live out what God says. And that goes back to the end of Matthew chapter 7, where he says, the wise man listens to my words and lives them out. The fool also hears my words, but does not live them out. What's your life built on, but are you also living out what you're learning? Are you a lifelong learner and a lifelong leader? AKA, are you doing what you've been taught? Because I want to live through my life and just live out what God's called me to do. Whether it be, you know, baptizing people, you know, across all nations, leading to Jesus and, you know, doing everything that I've commanded you, the Great Commission, or just be simply loving somebody, paying for somebody's Starbucks, helping some homeless person on the street, providing love or assistance to somebody that needs it, being a shoulder to cry on, praying for somebody, praying over somebody, whatever it is, I want to live in obedience to him. Come to God, know Jesus, and live out what he says. Because after you come to Jesus and after you know Jesus, living out what he says is going to be 10 times easier. Because I think for me, especially, I have it backwards, right? I'll live for Jesus, and then I'll come to Jesus, and then I'll try to know Jesus. But I can't live for Jesus if I don't know Jesus, and I don't know Jesus if I don't come to Jesus. And they build on each other. They stack. But those are the three things that I feel like that we can anchor, like start to anchor down today into the firm foundation. But if you just take the first step of, God, I just want to know you. And then over time, it'll just say, God, I want to follow you. God, I want to know you. I want to come to you, I want to know you, and I want to follow you. Those things will fall into place. But we get so wrapped up of that order that nothing ever happens. We get so distracted that we just settle for the sand instead of digging down deeper for the firm foundation of Jesus. And I think that's where a lot of Christians are at today. It's I know Jesus. Yeah, I know the stories. I've come to Jesus and I'm living for him. I'm, you know, what do you want from me? I'm serving on a Sunday morning. I'm going to church and you know, whatever it is. But there's no firm foundation underneath you. Not everybody who says, Lord, Lord, that is the most convicting verse, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Build your life on the rock. But here's the thing. You can build your life on the rock. You can build your life on the sand and fall down, but God will still redeem you, right? You're not done just because you make a mistake. If that was the case, none of us would be here right now because nobody's perfect. But just because you build your life on the sand and it falls and your life crumbles and falls apart doesn't mean the Lord can't go down and rebuild your foundation. Maybe sometimes it might take a storm or two to knock down your old foundation and to be built up on Jesus. But here's the thing. He loves you so much that he's willing to do it again and again and again and again until we learn. That's really what it is. He's waiting for us to learn and to listen. But just because you've made a mistake, just because you've walked through addictions, just because you're going through a divorce, just because you're dealing with anger, just because you're dealing with greed, doesn't mean the Lord can't radically transform your life and anchor you to Him. You're not done just because people say you're done, right? Oh, you'll never amount to anything because, you know, you went to prison. You'll never amount to anything because you failed out of high school. You'll never amount to anything because you're still not married. You'll never amount to anything because whatever it is. The Lord can take that and make it into a firm foundation that can change generations. You don't know, right? Moses murdered an Egyptian and ran from God and he used him to lead the nation of Israel to the promised land. Paul murdered hundreds of Christians and is the loudest voice in the New Testament besides Jesus, wrote the most books, but changed generations. Peter denied Jesus 3 times while he was on the cross. And the Lord told him, he said, Peter, I'm gonna build the church on the rock, which is you. You can make mistakes, but the Lord can still redeem you for good. And he can still take your foundation and make it stronger than it's ever been. And I don't know who's feeling that way today, but I feel like there's some of us are in that situation where it's like, man, I would love to do that, but I'm too far gone. I would love to do that, but I just have made too many mistakes. Or I have to get my family in order first. I have to get my finances in order first. I have to do all this. No, 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 no. Today, you can be changed from the inside out. Build your life on the foundation of Jesus. Because he wants to know you. He wants to have a relationship with you. And he wants to change you from the inside out. But he's not done with you yet. Hey, I got good news for you. If you're alive this morning, you still have breath. God's still got a plan for you. God's not done with you yet. And I say that to myself every morning, and I've mentioned this before, but because, you know, being 1 pound, 9 ounces, 3 months premature, I know I'm alive and I have a purpose on this earth. And the same thing is for you guys. God's got a purpose for you right now because you're alive today. You woke up with breath, great news. God's got a purpose. And we got to build our life on Jesus so that when things come at us at all different angles, we can stand firm. The knowledge of who he is. I'm going to end our time in prayer. So I'm going to have you guys stand up. We're going to go into the song after prayer. But I really want to just ask you guys to wrestle with this question throughout the week. You good, Pancho? I want you guys to ask and wrestle with this question throughout the week of what is my life built on? Or what I had to ask myself, it drove me to, you know, really be convicted is I'm nothing without blank. And really wrestle with that today, this week. Because as you begin to wrestle with that, God will begin to transform your heart, your mind, and your soul, and reveal the things that maybe he wants to get rid of or the things that you need to build up on in your life. Come to Jesus, know Jesus, follow Jesus. As easy as that. But if you don't live it out, as what James says, you're a fool, because you're gonna look at yourself like you're looking at yourself in a mirror and you're gonna forget. I challenge you, ponder that question this week. Maybe talk to me or Pastor Mike or Pastor Morgan or whoever. But really wrestle with that this week. Because imagine if we had a church that was actually rooted on the foundation of Jesus, where everybody who came in here could sense that there was a difference, that everybody here knows Jesus. Everybody here has been changed by Jesus. Everybody here has had their lives radically transformed, but so much different than that, they actually live what Jesus says out. They love all people. They don't hate, they don't discriminate. They're generous, they're kind. They speak in kindness. Imagine if we had a church like that. What would happen to the East Bay if we all lived like that? But it starts today and it's not too late. Lord, we thank you for the firm foundation that you are for us, God. I pray that we anchor ourselves down to you, God, today. I pray that we come to you, that we repent, God, that we know you, and that we follow you, Jesus. But I'm praying today, God, for everybody underneath the sound of my voice, either right now or listening online, God, that you begin to shake our foundation of sand just a little bit, God. Reveal the cracks in our foundation, God, that we can be built up upon you, God. Reveal any heartache and pain or pride or guilt or shame in us, God, so that we can be built up on the firm foundation that will not fail. God, we thank you for your grace and your wisdom and your mercy, God. And I pray that this week that we continue to chase after you day in and day out, that we follow you, God. but that you continue to shape and to mold our heart into the men and women you've called and created us to be. Thank you for your firm foundation that will never, ever, ever fail. In your mighty, matchless name, we pray. Amen and amen.